Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hello, I'm William Osman, and welcome to the second episode of Trash Flavor.
Yay!
it's our homage to an angry commenter who started watching both of our podcasts. This is Connor of Trash Taste.
Hi.
We are Garbage Flavor.
Yeah.
Just right now for this episode.
Trash Flavor.
It's evolving.
It's a zombie.
Trash Taste, Garbage Flavor.
Okay, yeah. I realized that the podcast you recorded is going to go up before our first one goes up. So they'll see this set and they'll be like, wow.
I did say it. Yeah. I told the story about your equipment.
Yeah, they'll be like, oh my God, you guys recorded all your podcasts on the Garbage Flavor set. I'll be like,
this is our set.
Our garbage. Yeah. But yeah, thanks for letting us use your guys' American
setup. No, dude, you saved our ass, dude.
I'm excited to talk about anime. We did.
Sorry.
So Alan is a weeb.
I am a weeaboo.
Are you actually?
Yes.
Well, I've seen some of your stuff. I saw like your Rock Lee video where you put on the weights.
Yes. I like the anime stuff and people like watching.
Oh, fuck yeah,
like,
they love it.
Yes. But the thing is like essentially once like the sort of like the big three kind of like finished, it's like, what was it, like Naruto, Bleach.
I guess, One Piece, but One Piece is still...
One Piece. The only way I'll ever get into One Piece is if I am, like, doing one of those, like, astronaut challenges, you know, where they send someone to live, like, on their own on, like,
you'd
a Hawaiian volcano
off.
Island. Yeah, for 6 months. There's over 1,000 episodes of One Piece. Yeah.
Would you go on a deserted island for $500,000 a month, but you can't call anyone, but you still have the internet?
And only watch One Piece. So I think, like, the hot new thing is, like, Spy Family, right?
Yeah, everyone's in Spy Family right now.
I remember that.
You didn't know that?
It's like a very like wholesome kind of funny show where it's like it's a spy and he gets a mission.
He
needs to form a family to like sneak into a place.
Yeah.
It's crazy how that's a show. It almost just sounds like
some bullshit.
What?
like a story that you tell for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, that's all manga, really. Because, like, the way the manga is made is that they have to get everyone by the first chapter.
Yeah.
Right.
Because that's how, otherwise, you get cut. Like, if you don't get people in the first chapter or the first few weeks, you're done.
Is that why there was, like, a string of anime and manga where the titles were just ridiculously, like, long and over?
I don't know what the fuck that is
like,
all about.
My boyfriend was a reincarnated slime monster, but now I'm a vampire. Like,
so those are from light novels, and that's another thing that Japan's obsessed with. But, yeah, they're so fucking dumb. They're, like... There's so many, and there's other ones where like they have they've like been translated into English, and they'll use the like word "so" twice in the same sentence. They're like, "So what? I'm a spider, something." The title is really weird. Like, there's a bunch of them like that. I don't know why. I don't know why they do this.
Is it to just like try and like get people to understand the premise like right away?
I think so.
A bad translation.
I don't feel qualified enough saying that. I think Joey might have words to say about that, but I don't know. Yeah, people are obsessed with light novels in Japan. I don't know why. I don't really like them.
Nigel, how much anime do you watch?
I have a fundamental question.
What's on your? What the hell's
first.
On your finger?
The sticker from the cervix.
Okay, what is the fundamental question you're gonna ask me?
Okay, this fundamental question. It goes, you know.
Oh no.
It's why
is anime hentai? Is hentai anime?
All hentai is anime, but not all anime is hentai.
But it's a lot
that's
of
true.
Close.
Yes.
I watch one more than the other.
So I used to watch a bunch of anime when I was
Caillou Hentai.
Okay, okay.
Exclusively, yeah.
You used to watch a lot of anime as a kid. Okay.
Yeah.
Like Naruto.
Okay, okay.
And like Dragon Ball Z.
Okay.
I
don't watch those shows, by the way. Yeah. I think Dragon Ball fucking sucks.
Well, I haven't seen it in like...
What about
Dragon Ball Abridged?
Oh, yeah. I like Dragon Ball.
Did you watch Rurouni Kenshin?
I haven't watched that, but I know that...
Samurai X.
I know that the author had a very shady history. Right?
Oh, yeah.
So you know the anime's going to be good.
Didn't he turn out to like be a child diddler?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of weird fucked up shit.
What's the anime about that?
It's about a swordsman that touches kids inappropriately.
Glossing over that.
Okay.
So I haven't watched anime in a long time.
Yeah.
So my fundamental question...
So many songs.
Yeah.
Is like, why do you, like, for example, when I watch anime,
yeah,
to me it's just no different than like a cartoon.
Yeah.
So why is it that people are like anime, they're obsessed with just the style of the drawing, like, or of the presentation? Because it's like, I don't go, yeah, like, I'm a big fan of live action movies, like, why would I? That's not a thing. So it's like specifically anime, people are like, I'm into anime. And there's such a wide range of stories.
Yeah.
And it's like, it doesn't really make sense why it's just how it's drawn.
I think the style is really appealing. I mean, you look at like Western cartoons and you do think like, holy fuck, this is the ugliest thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like you put if you watch Big Mouth, you see how fucking ugly Big Mouth is? No. This show is Big Mouth on Netflix.
Okay.
It's like it's an adult cartoon, and every fucking adult cartoon looks the same. It's like this most.
What's
like
the difference between an adult cartoon and hentai?
I think it's like Family Guy, right?
And
one
every show that's in like the Family Guy kind of like, we're like very dark and we joke about not PC things, and they all look horrible. Like they just look the worst.
I feel like Family Guy kind of ruined the Western animation aesthetic for like 2 decades
basically.
This feels like an amalgamation of like,
it's just like nobody gives a fuck.
That's actually horrible.
It's, you know, I think there's people get into it for the style, but then I think there's just something about it that definitely appeals to like that 16-year-old part of you where it's like, I don't fit in school, and this just kind of hits all the things that I like. And it's just perfectly tailored for like somebody who is just like, I just want this kind of story that I don't get anywhere else.
Kind of makes me think of like Adult Swim, or like just a bunch of weird kind of like stoner shows where like everybody who works on any of them is like doing drugs. They're kind of just making weird stuff.
But in Japan, it's like they're like super overworked and depressed. And this is the show they come up with out of that kind of thing. I don't know. Like, what's some of your favorite anime? I will say this now. There's a big meme on Trash Taste and all this that we don't actually watch anime anymore.
Yeah.
Because
who has the time?
Right. Yeah. I'm too busy talking about anime.
So we talked a little bit about it.
Yeah.
There is this thing on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. I know.
There are channels that are like summarizing anime, like entire seasons, in like 10 to 20 minutes. And it's all AI voices.
Yeah, they do this with movies as well. Like, I think XQC watches them live all the time.
And it's like, it's not the content that's bizarre, it's the frequency that they're uploading and the number of channels and how frequently new channels. Like, it's like, I saw one yesterday that was like Annie P. Or anime recaps, or any recap. And there's like 30 of these channels. I swear to God, they keep popping up and up. And it's, I don't know how they're getting away with it.
I don't know. It's weird because like Japanese companies are really, really protective of their IPs. But sometimes they just don't give a fuck about what's going on outside of Japan.
Really?
And then sometimes they really care. So it's totally like, you know, I think there was that, what's his name? The guy who got his whole channel taken down by Toei.
Yeah,
Totally Not Mark.
Yeah.
You know, like he got his whole channel taken down. They threatened to sue him. But then other people are, like you said, uploading the whole fucking episodes, the whole anime, and suddenly people don't care.
Right.
It kind of depends on whether the Japanese company has like a content ID partner that they're going after and if they care. I don't know. Sometimes someone must tell them, be like, hey, you guys know you can make money, right?
Right.
From claiming these people in other countries, right? And they're like, what the fuck? We can do that?
Money.
A lot of, like, what the thing I don't understand is there's a lot of, like, older anime that you can't even watch.
Oh, yeah. They're not on any streaming service.
Yes.
You
and
can't
it's like,
buy them.
Am I supposed to go on Amazon and buy I don't own a DVD player and buy a DVD and then buy a DVD player to watch this?
Yes.
Well, you know.
Yes.
So
no, but it's not even just buying the DVD player. they're region locked.
Yeah, yeah. So,
so you can't, you have to literally buy a Japanese DVD player.
Yeah, there's a lot of them that don't even live in Japan. Wow. It doesn't really happen now because every company under the sun wants to get the licenses. Yeah. Yeah. But like Evangelion, right? The, one of the most popular shows wasn't on any streaming service until like 4 or 5 years ago. I think it was like locked in, like no one could get it. They didn't, the Japanese companies just didn't trust anyone. And the only way you could get it was getting the old like DVDs.
Right.
That was the only legal way to get it in English. Right. Every other way, everyone was pirating.
Yeah. It's funny how slow that like whole industry has moved. Because I remember hearing like at anime conventions when I was younger from like, you know, like older fans kind of reminiscing about like in like, oh yeah, like 1994, the only way to watch Evangelion was on VHS.
You'd have to share them around.
Yeah, right? You'd have to like literally have a physical copy that like the community would actually share, like the Sisterhood of Traveling Pants.
It's fucking like, weird. I don't know.
The one VHS.
And you'd have to hope some guy subtitled it.
Yeah. And it was like a nightmare. And it's like that was, what, 30 years ago. And it's still like just a little better.
Well, yeah, when I got into anime, it was like you'd go on YouTube and it'd be part one of three, Espanol dub.
Yeah.
Like, and you'd have
Hell
to, like,
yeah.
And then you couldn't find part two of three. And you're like, fuck, I gotta know what happens.
I watched something recently. Actually, Kevin downloaded it for me because I haven't done any piracy stuff in a long time. Yeah. And so I just like, I'm not.
Well, because you haven't had to do it in like for 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's like you've pretty much been able to watch anything you want to watch by finding on a streaming service and paying for it. But
I feel like it's getting just overall.
Yeah, now
just,
it's going
it's
back.
Getting worse.
Yes,
like and some movies just don't exist on anything.
There was a there was this like it was a 3-episode movie where it's like a movie with 3 shorts in it from like the 90s or late 80s.
Oh, wow.
One was I can't remember. One is like there's like the short is like it's like Stink Bomb or something. Huh. And the guy works at a medical facility. He like has a headache, so he takes a pill, and the pill turns him into just like this human weapon that's just emitting gas. It's like killing
everything. It sounds fucking awesome.
It's a very like the animation is like it's like I love like
90s OVAs.
Yes.
They were insane.
Like, nobody does it, and I'm assuming it's just because it's expensive, but like it's beautiful. And so there's 3 shorts. 2 of them are really good. I think the third one is just sort of okay. The other one is like these like space junk collectors that take like a an SOS call. So they go to this thing. It's like this weird like giant spaceship that's like dilapidated that was sort of built to.
Oh, I think I remember seeing this collection of shorts on something streaming like
this
a few years
awesome.
Ago.
It's really good. I should figure out what the name of it was. But had to be pirated.
Yeah.
So Kevin downloaded it. Didn't have subtitles. So I had to go find subtitles and then link them to it.
Oh, like the import the subtitles?
Yes.
Oh my God.
And I'm sitting here thinking like I would have, even on Amazon, like I would have paid $5 bucks to watch this.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Why was the only way, I don't even think I could have bought a DVD. Like it was, it actually was impossible.
Yeah, I think it's like before the 90s, they just didn't bring it over. Because some guy had to go to Japan and be like, hey, I have an idea. Let me have your property, which you're really protective about. Trust me to not fuck it up. And they did fuck it up. Because like 4 Kids, right? They changed everything in like One Piece. And so that's probably scared a lot of people as well. Because it would actually not even just change like the lines. They would physically change the stuff in the show.
Mm.
Like in One Piece, there was like weapons. And they would change them like squirt guns and stuff.
Yeah.
And then Pokemon, they changed.
I remember being so confused as a kid. Because in Pokemon, they had the onigiri, the rice balls.
And
they always called them donuts.
Jelly donuts.
They'd always call them like jelly donuts in the dub. And it just never made any. They're who kind of like the localization team for that? Who thought that like, oh yeah, this is a donut?
You know what's bad? I grew up in like a small town in the middle of fucking nowhere in Wales.
Uh-huh.
And to me, I was like, yeah.
That's a donut?
Because to me, it's like, what is culture? What is culture?
I never thought anything of it.
Really?
I think that sort of like set me up with some weird expectation of like expecting those to be like sweet instead of savory.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That's
so good.
Like rice ball or something?
Yeah. And like usually it has like, you know, like tuna in it.
It could have just said rice ball.
Yeah.
No, that would have been too crazy. Kids wouldn't have understood that.
Rice in a bowl? Get the fuck out of here.
The name of the shorts compilation is Memories.
Memories
from 1995.
I've never heard of this. Maybe Gaunt or Jerry would know. I'm like out of the podcast. I'm the least knowledgeable about anime.
Really?
Yeah. I
mean,
like the most.
I saw it somewhere.
Yeah.
Like either Reddit or like sometimes what I'll do is like if I watch something that I like, I'll then go find. I'll go to the director or creator's like Wikipedia page and then go through their other stuff.
Look what else they've
like
done.
We found a show. I think after Evangelion, I found a show called like The Secret of Blue Water, and it's really funny. Because you can look at this this like artist or this writer's like creative history.
Yeah.
And they're all kind of stuck on like one idea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. People and like rehash the same idea.
Yes.
Right?
It's almost like every show they make is like, it's kind of the same prototype being reiterated. And then you end up at like Evangelion and then you look after it. And it's like, they kind of just get stuck on that arc with that type of like,
There's a, I think, I forget the director's name, but they did the Digimon movie. Well, I mean, it's kind of a mess between like the North American version and the actual Japanese version.
Yeah.
But they also did some work on an anime movie called The Girl Who Lived Through Time and one called Summer Wars. And so...
Is it Mamoru Hosoda?
I don't remember. But it's funny because between all of those shows or all those movies, there's like this one particular aesthetic weird thing where it's like this big wide open space with like, you know, it's some kind of like internet representation, right? Like this is the World Wide Web. It's a big white space. There's avatars and gears everywhere. And that same imagery is the same throughout all three of those movies.
Have you watched his newest movie?
I haven't
It fucking sucks.
Does it
It's the same shit again.
Does it have a big white open space with avatars on the internet?
Yeah. It's about, oh, she's online and she's a singer, but in real life she's not. And it fucking sucks.
Do they just like one sucks and they're like, I'm going to get it this time?
I think there's something like that.
And then they get a hit and they're like, I can do it again.
Because the other ones are good. Summer Wars is good. Summer Wars is good. Time is good.
I don't know why he's making the same fucking movie over there.
I think my guess is like a couple of things. Like one, you just get lucky. So like one, there's just like this perfect amalgamation of talent that makes it something come out good. The other could be sort of maybe some Star Wars shit where you've got like the instant a director kind of gets too famous, they sort of get too much authority and that authority creates
someone
worse content.
Someone needs to dial them back.
Right, because really what made the first ones good, it was the team effort and people restricting them. And they kind of then, their stuff is sort of like, my farts smell good. There's an interesting interview with the guy who wrote Back to the Future. What the hell is his name?
Oh, I don't remember. Was that on like the movies that made us? Like, the Netflix
stuff? Oh, yeah. They were talking about the end scene being like to get back, to get the energy to go back was from a nuclear bomb. And so they had to build like a nuclear, they had to do the tower, the drop test, they had to build the town, and they didn't have the budget for it. So they had to like cut, you know, so much money off the movie, and they ended up just doing the lightning strike. And it's like, if you think about it, it probably is like a better and more like obtainable solution. Mm-hmm. It creates like a more realistic solution. And like it forced these guys to figure out how would you do it more grungy, which ironically is literally Doc Brown trying to be more grungy to figure out, you know what I'm saying? Where it's like, it just inherently makes it better.
I guess it's like Kojima, right, with Death Stranding. Everyone's kind of like, maybe someone should have told him, maybe don't do this.
No, I love Death Stranding.
Fuck
I'm
off.
Trying to buy
and
a PS5
got a shout
right
out.
Now.
You got liked
Norman Reedus and Kojima. Yeah, they retweeted because I built a treadmill that like could play Death Stranding like instead of the PS4 controller.
Yes,
you have to walk on the treadmill.
I haven't seen that video.
And it was suffering because you tried it. You were there. You didn't even. Did you try to forget?
I didn't.
You
didn't put me in your video. I was cut.
All right. Well, because you fell asleep while we were playing.
I was so tired.
I think I love Death Stranding. I am a fan because it just like I think there should be more things.
You have weird taste. You have trash taste.
There should be more things that don't make any fucking sense.
I think for me, as somebody who fucking hates cutscenes in a video game, I'm like,
having to sit through 20 minutes.
This is just
like
suffering. The last one is like 2 hours, right? It's like an hour and a half.
I definitely at one point watched all the cutscenes for like StarCraft as a kid. Like that was the best part was the cutscenes. And I would use cheats to get through the game.
You're just watching a shitty
movie.
Actually,
I skip all the cutscenes.
Yeah, me too. Oh, you skip everything as well?
Yeah.
I skip every cutscene.
The thing that makes no sense to me is people who even follow the story in games. Like, some of them.
Have you never played a game where you like engage with the story, like ever?
I just go right through
it's the weirdest thing.
Roll.
Like, if you ever play League of Legends and stuff, I've talked to people who are like, this guy, he's like this guy's brother because I've been reading. I'm like, why do you even? I just, like, why do you care?
What about like Portal, where it's really built into the game?
I skip every possible cutscene. I like the puzzles.
No, you
but there are no cutscenes.
When the girl's talking, I get up and go to the bathroom.
Just fucking clock out and just get through it.
Man,
you're the same as me.
But the problem is it has messed up some games because even in the scenes where they explain how the game works, I skip that. I played Mass Effect. This is years ago. And I couldn't beat the final boss, okay? I was having a really hard time beating him. And then I looked up how to beat him, and these people are like, oh, it's really good to use these two like skills. And I went, you know, skills. And then I told him, my brother, he goes, that's like literally the point of the game.
Oh my God.
I didn't even look through the menus. I skipped everything.
I have a perfect game.
And you know what? You know what? I enjoyed the
Fortnite.
Game.
Fortnite.
Solitaire?
Fortnite.
You skip everything.
Or solitaire. It's just shooting. Minesweeper. It's
no,
just...
my friend, Zach, he'll go, yeah, you know, there's like the new season. We're finally going to see this character. I'm like, who is that? Why do you even know this?
It's like the opposite just of saying that you only read Playboy for the articles. You're like, oh yeah, I only read it for the porn. I only read Playboy for the boobs.
At least you're being honest.
Yeah. I skip everything.
No, I get invested in games. The two games that have like messed me up the most, just like psychologically, yeah. have been...
Minesweeper and Tetris?
Yeah, yeah. Minesweeper and Tetris. Super Smash Brothers Melee. Undertale.
I love
and,
that.
And Nier Automata. Why would you love Undertale, though, if you're not paying attention to the story?
That was one where I like went through it, and I really enjoyed the genocide part where you had to do all the fucking... I loved the like,
DDR.
Have you
done a genocide path? I couldn't. I
because,
couldn't.
Because
Undertale.
It's a game that you would not enjoy,
not only
Nigel.
I
skip entire games.
You don't know what Undertale is?
I've heard of it, I think.
What the young, fuck?
The youngest boomer I've ever met. How are you unaware of what Undertale
That's
is?
That's wild. You know, on 2015, 16 on YouTube, it was fucking inescapable.
It was all Undertale.
It was fucking everywhere.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
What's the thing?
I'm a boomer.
There's no thing.
He thought he was going to come up with something by the time I said that. He didn't. I do that all the time.
I did other things.
Yeah, fair enough. You had a life, clearly. I didn't
have a life. I just didn't have a life in a different way.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Did you like go up to play the game again? Like,
but can you tell me what Undertale is? I think I've seen it. I think I've seen it. I just
I don't even know how to fucking explain this game.
It's like very black and white, simple cartoon art. Kind of looks like an old school game. It's like skeletons.
It's kind of RPG bullet hell, and it's like you fall into the underworld, and it's a world of kind of like monsters and stuff, and you interact with them.
I don't even know how. I think I stream a lot of games, and I think streaming is good because it forces me not to skip them because people get pissed off. They get fucking pissed.
They never even heard of this.
And they start charging.
And I'll be like, I'll be like, fuck, I didn't mean to skip that. I should fucking hell. I just fucking pressed it.
Only if there's a financial incentive for you to not skip that.
Exactly.
You'd have to get paid to play a video game properly.
I played a Metal Gear Revengeance for the first time.
I don't know that one.
That's the Kojima game where it's just all the memes with the...
Is that the one where it's like you don't even play as Snake? You're like
the
new
play
guy?
As Biden.
Okay.
And you literally just like, that's where all the memes are coming from right now, where the guy's like fucking punching the guy, and then it's like nanomachines and all that shit.
Yeah,
that was fun, but that's like, it's a movie, and then you occasionally press stuff. Like, because it's Kojima.
Right.
It's just 5 hours of, like, stupid cutscenes, and then occasionally you fucking spam X.
Sounds like the guy just wants to make movies.
He does. I don't know, but I guess he just doesn't want to deal with, like, physical acting and stuff.
Well, that makes sense, because he's friends with, like, Guillermo del Toro and Norman Reedus, and he has, like, a bunch of actual actors in Death Stranding. That makes sense.
Why don't just make animated movies?
Maybe he's just like, I don't know, the video games are just an easier... Like, they don't have to be as good if they're video games, you know?
I don't know. I think there's something about the medium video game medium that he really enjoys. I just can't figure it out. I don't know what that is.
He likes the cutscene aspect.
I don't know. That's pissing me off with these fucking cutscenes.
That was the thing about, like, the Kojima Twitter account retweeted my video... But in my video, I say in the introduction that Death Stranding is objectively a bad game. And so I was like, oh no, did he see that part?
That's their fault.
I hope he skipped ahead.
I mean, probably didn't.
No way.
Well, here's the thing. It is bad. But I think it's bad in a very healthy way.
What does that mean?
I think it's bad in a way that like video games should, or like all media,
it's doing something different.
Should occasionally be bad in that way. I think it's healthy to have that.
So I have another question. What do you guys like about video games? I'm asking this because I've just come to realize I don't think
I just like good gameplay loops. I like the learning to do something and feeling very satisfied from doing it.
Mm.
I don't know why.
What do you mean by that?
What do you play right now?
Right now, what am I playing? Fuck, what am I playing right now? I've played a lot of Apex.
Okay.
I'm kind of addicted to
Warzone.
Apex. I don't like Warzone. Hmm. It's just like, it looks like Apex, but worse.
No, Warzone's...
I'm pretty sure Apex is like Warzone, but worse.
What the fuck?
Do you play League?
Yeah, I played League religiously for like 6 years.
And then you quit.
And then I kind of realized it was ruining my life. And,
that's the cycle.
And you just lose like 3 hours. You're just like, oh, I'm just going to play a game. I don't want to work on this video right now. And then you play 3 hours and you're miserable because you played League and it was shit.
So, okay. I want to talk about subs versus dubs.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I have...
Subs.
Dubs are good now.
The other opinion's wrong.
No, this argument would have made sense 20 years ago. Dubs are good now.
No, they're not.
Actually, they're good now. Okay.
I think subs.
So, yeah, I'm not like... I'm not,
I have an argument for that.
I say dubs because I'm not good at reading. So dubs.
It's true.
Yeah. Who has the time for that?
I can appreciate that. I think that's a completely valid way of being like, I want to watch anime and I don't want to have to look at the fucking screen 24/7.
Yeah.
You said that you think dubs are good now. I actually
dubs
think
are good now.
I think dubs were at their best in like 2008, around that period.
They peaked? Do you think they peaked?
I think that's when they were at their best.
I think your standards might have just gotten
because
worse.
What's happened now is that dubs are now on like a fast track. It's like
ejecting as quickly as possible.
The writer gets 48 hours to make a script. He gets paid less, and then the voice actors get paid less, and they're like, "You need to do it right fucking now." And they use it's like back then it was like they had a lot more time to do casting and get the right people, and the writers actually had a like multiple weeks, normally like 4 weeks to make a script, and it would be a lot longer. Like, have you ever watched Baccano or
Cowboy Bebop
or any of the great dubs? No one talks about great dubs that came out like right. now, mm-hmm. right? It's all from like back then when they had way more time to work on it and they would get more money because you could sell the DVDs. Mm. Now it's like you have to just kind of shove these dubs out as fast as possible.
It's probably because like Crunchyroll do like a simulcast, right?
Yeah, where
it's like the Japanese and the English.
Yeah, so I've voiced in some of the English dubs for Crunchyroll.
Oh, cool. And so you're saying you're not good.
No, I
so I know for personal
reasons. You're saying you didn't have enough time.
I'm saying that the dubs now, because back then as well, they wouldn't dub every show. It was like the good shows would, like the shows that would make money would get
Well, I would say too, like even the ones, like as a kid when I watched it all, like, I mean, you say you didn't like Dragon Ball Z, but like Pokemon,
Digimon. Good dubs. Good dubs.
It's like there wasn't 8,000 shows on TV. It's whichever ones were good enough to make it to America.
Pokemon has an amazing dub.
And then...
Amazing.
I also think that Pokemon has like a huge financial model outside of the show. Yeah. The show needs to like get kids attached to it and kids are not going to watch a
show. But I'm saying like,
show.
That might be the point is like the ones that got dubbed, they knew were going to be super popular. So there's lots of money to pour into it. Whereas now they're like, it's kind of like on YouTube. You're like, my channel's doing pretty well. I'll just give it some Spanish dubs. It's like, who cares?
Yeah, I've spoke to a lot of voice actors and writers as well from back then as well. And they would also tell me like, you know, they knew which shows were going to be the big shows.
Yeah.
Right.
So they could allocate enough resources if they knew the show was going to be a big fucking deal. And they're like, all right, we have to bring our A game for this one. We got to bring everyone out. And now it's kind of like, we have no fucking clue which shows are the big shows.
Just shocking method.
So it's just keep fucking everything, every license that Netflix get, dub, you know, every license Crunchyroll gets, make a dub.
Watching some of those YouTube recaps, like 10 20 minute recaps, it feels, you start to notice a lot of patterns.
Oh yeah,
because watching a show can take, you know, like a couple of days or a couple of weeks depending on how quickly you watch it, and so you don't necessarily get to consume a whole lot of stuff, but when you can sort of see a condensed version, you start to notice that like a lot of shows are like the exact same tropes where it's like the young boy.
Oh yeah,
like a lot of them start like they start in Japan, like it's a boy in Japan and, or a man in Japan, they get transported to another world, like I have seen so many and then you never ever go back to Japan. And it's like, why?
Yeah, they completely forget that that was the whole purpose of the journey is to go back. And they're like, oh, I'm just actually just, I love the big titty.
The fact that there's more than like,
I'm saying.
The fact that there's more than one of those is like insane to me.
It's isekai. Yeah, it's a whole genre. Isekai just means like another world in Japanese. Yeah. And it's like a whole fucking.
You get killed by truck
Isekai, that's the meme,
into the big titty elf world and you don't ever go
back. It's like, there's also a lot of like polygamy. Is that like multiple?
Harem.
Polygamy.
Polygamy.
Fuck, it's anime. That's harem.
And it's like, you're like, what? Why is this such a common.
Because it's a guy fantasy to have eight beautiful women. That's what,
it feels like a lot of like vicarious lifestyles.
Oh, there's
people
a lot of like
living
incel
a
stuff.
Life that's bad. Being presented with an opportunity to sort of escape that in imagining.
Yeah. I've gone on so many fucking rants about this. Because
yes, let's do another one.
You watch it and you're like, this is just plain and simple a lot of the time. It's just like an incel's fantasy.
Yeah, it's like a weird like, fan service-y thing.
It's like a self-serving, I just want to do it. And, you know, sometimes it's done really well, and there are some of those shows that are fucking amazing, but there's so many that are the same shit, just rehashed.
And like the anime boobs?
Yeah, and the boobs, obviously. Yeah, actually, one of the
it's like it's comically bad. Like I saw something
comically
last night.
Good,
like
it's comically good.
I don't know how to describe it other than like,
dude, there's some hentai out there that are animated.
Woo,
and
look at that! What's that? We're gonna need to mosaic like, this. Make sure this
like,
gets mosaic.
Like somebody sat down, with a piece of paper and a pen or a tablet and. And they drew that, and then they drew the head smaller.
So we had a hentai author on our show a few weeks ago, and I asked him. I was like, why is it like always just so fucking like comically large? And he was like, it's just a fantasy. It's just like that's just how they want to draw it, and that's how they like it. Does that justify it? I don't know. It's just kind of how it's evolved weirdly.
Do you think Michael Bay likes doing the Transformers movies, like he likes the explosions, or he likes the robots?
What do you mean? Like the last three Transformers movies were like made for China.
But I feel like making the drawings like that is like a personal choice.
Yeah, probably.
Whereas, like, I feel like Michael Bay is just making a movie, whereas the artists are sort of like it's a little bit of like something for themselves.
I have a huge, huge, huge amount of respect and admiration for anyone who draws cartoon porn because this is, I don't think, he probably
this is real shit.
So basically, in college, me and one of my friends, through like a series of just like coincidental sort of like us putting information together, figured out that our third friend was secretly drawing furry porn on the internet.
That's a good way to make a living.
People pay like
a lot. Furries pay a lot.
It's special. It's a niche. And so like we're just like I was like going through like his secret Tumblr.
Yeah.
And sort of the whole time putting together this timeline of when we knew him and we knew like he had done like cartoons.
Why are you doing this whole investigative?
Yeah, this poor friend.
Well, because it wasn't on purpose, right? We were just sort of like accidentally
music playing in the background.
Yeah, because we figured out like we were like, oh yeah, like he uses this tag when he's playing Smash Brothers.
Investigative journalism, Alan.
Like on DeviantArt. And so this whole cross-referencing thing where we found his secret Tumblr and he was like actively sort of like making posts where he was drawing like, you know, a wolf covered in semen or whatever, wolf man covered in semen. And he would just say like referencing like one of his favorite artists and be like, oh, one day I want to be able to make my semen look as good as this guy's semen.
Wait, what?
Well, because it's like, there's a community. They have a community where they draw this porn and like some of them are like,
this is a video idea.
Some of them are really good. And they have
fun right now.
Like they have heroes. And this whole time I was just thinking like, you know, he had this secret. He like used to illustrate for the school newspaper. This was a big one. But he used to have a hard drive that was just labeled secret pornography.
How do you know this?
Because sometimes we would like it was when my other this is part of what we put together. My other friend was trying to like get a file from him, and he was like, oh yeah, it's in D drive. Don't go to secret pornography. And we had a laugh like, oh haha, he has. So it turned out it was actually secret pornography is hidden in plain sight. Because if you see that, you assume it's a joke. But think about like the dedication that you need to do. Like he didn't tell his family. He didn't tell his friends. This entire time, he's making an income with this like double life. And he is like aspiring to be better than he is. Like he's looking at his heroes who draw semen. And he's like, one day I want to draw semen as good as this guy.
This is like literally what the internet was built for.
Yeah.
What is... like the
I can see the cogs turning.
Like you see men. Some semen,
yeah,
and you go, man, like I want to, like, why? What is the skill to gain?
Well, because it's like the translucence, the consistency. You have to
the
draw
viscosity.
That.
Think
you have
about
to draw
it.
By, how would you draw a puddle of semen right now?
A white crayon.
It's like, I think it would take a lot of skill to draw good semen.
Okay.
You know that, funny enough, it's completely unrelated to the semen. There's actually so much Transformers pornography in Japan. They have doujins. It's a really big culture of making like fan, and they sell it in stores. For some reason, weird gray market where the publishers don't care, but you're allowed to make your own porn of something, publish it, and then sell it in the stores next to like the official stuff.
It's parody, right?
Yeah, something like that. Japan doesn't have parody laws.
Oh, it's they don't. Just have porn.
But for some reason, porn is like, we'll let it go. And for some reason, there's so much like Transformer pornography. There's so much of it.
So is it just motor oil then instead
Yeah, maybe like Bumblebee getting like railed by a train, maybe. I don't know.
Windshield wiper fluid.
Well, because Bumblebee pisses in the movie. Bumblebee pisses in the movie, right?
A train.
So they just build off that.
Ian, what are the odds this is monetized?
Zero.
If anyone saw an ad during this video, leave a comment telling us what the ad was for.
Sperm donation.
I feel like it's just that to me is like the greatest hardship that a person can endure is secretly drawing furry porn and not telling anyone.
That is the greatest hardship.
There's no bigger hardship.
I can't think of a worse one.
I'd rather. I want to say it. You know what? No.
What? So I have a lot of.
I've played League of Legends on the Japanese, so I've experienced.
Yeah, that's really bad. Just you played League of Legends.
I just played League of Legends. Yeah,
that's
I could have been worse. Could have played Heroes of the Storm. Remember that game? Remember that?
I never played that.
Yeah, lucky. Awful game. Awful game.
What do you think about My Hero Academia?
Used to be better is what I'd
say. I mean season one was pretty hype and everyone was kind of excited that there was like a new kind of shonen and I know everyone always complains when I say this, but I fucking got so bored. They just don't fucking do anything. They just stay in school. I know it's called My Hero Academia. Yeah. I get that. But like, could they please just like make something happen?
They're starting to enter like South Park territory where the kids have been in the same group.
Yeah. I know the story goes on, the manga got better, but season three was so boring to me that I was just like, I'm done.
Yeah, like
I'm
the non-filler episodes were filler episodes.
Yeah, and they had, even though they had like have you watched all of it?
No.
It was season three, they brought in this new villain and it was really underwhelming and they beat him and it was over really quick. And you're like,
I think for me, I mean, I don't know. Do we care about spoilers at all? If you want to watch My Hero, I guess stop watching this.
Yeah, all the 12-year-olds watching this that care about My Hero.
But like, I think the first season, you've got such a great premise with Midoriya because he sort of has these powers that like aren't his, right?
That was cool.
Yeah. He's like this hero who always wanted to be one. He couldn't, but then he gets this opportunity.
Like the underdog story.
He's this total underdog, and on top of it all, like he can't even use the powers very well. So every time he uses his powers, like his limbs break.
Yeah, it was awesome.
But he's got the dedication where he's like, I'm still gonna fucking try, even though when I do this, like my hand fucking explodes, you know? But then like once you get over that in the first season, it's kind of like, I feel like it's like once, because he went from being the underdog to now he has multiple powers.
He's
doing the power scaling thing.
Yeah, and it's like, I kind of wish he was just shitty the entire time.
It's more boring than what other shonens are doing as well right now. Like Jujutsu Kaisen is lot darker and it's a lot more adult, even though, I mean, it's still geared towards teenagers, but it's just kind of My Hero with better animation, cooler story, cooler characters, and people actually fucking die.
Yeah.
My Hero Academia, people just get maimed, and then they're like, when it's a show where, oh my God, there's so much on the line, and then no one is dying, but I thought everything was on the line. Like,
Have you ever read My Hero Vigilantes?
I've heard that it's good.
What is that?
It's about the villains, a spin-off manga that is, I think, better than My Hero proper because it's about vigilantes. Because in the world of My Hero Academia, like you need a hero license to do your hero work, and people who don't are vigilantes, and so they're criminals.
Mm.
But that side manga is about, like, it's almost like season one where it's this hero who has shitty powers. He's called the Crawler. So his power is he can glide on surfaces. But he finds ways.
Like a dog scooting across carpet.
Yeah, but like frictionless. But he finds ways to like utilize his power creatively.
Yeah.
And so by the end of Vigilantes, his power hasn't gotten better. He's gotten better at using it.
Right.
And so it feels earned when he's like taking down like a big bad guy because it's still the same shitty power fundamentally.
Yeah.
Whereas like Midoriya at this point.
He just figured out how to not break his arm.
He's OP and now he's just trying to get the use it. And
Vigilantes somehow I think is like, I'd say it's worth a read because it kind of keeps that same spirit for the whole thing. And it just ends.
Okay, you know,
I like series that just end.
Well, My Hero is... at that stage, and I think where all, I don't know, it's hard to know what's happening behind the scenes, but I assume it knows it's at that point where it's so marketable, yeah. where it's like, just keep it fucking going.
Drag it on. Oh, drag it on.
Oh, no.
The heat. Oh, fuck. Holy shit. That is really hot. Okay, hopefully
you can. I kind of want to touch it too now.
It's like the heat sink, I think.
Oh, that's
at, the,
nice.
At the back?
I
no,
light
no,
anything
no.
on fire, but it like hurts.
Yeah, that's
you touch,
fine.
Like, oh. your elbow or, like...
Have you read or watched Hunter x Hunter?
I watched it.
It's fucking amazing.
I
love it.
I think we had a conversation.
It's the Chimera ant art is the litmus that. Test.
I
it is
hate
very
it.
Polarizing.
You hate it's, it? Wait, did you get to the Chimera ant art?
Yeah.
So you got through like 60 fucking episodes?
Yeah.
Fuck,
and then it felt like someone else took over the car and just veered off the freeway.
I fucking
and it was,
love the Chimera ant art.
I really like the Chimera ant art.
It's part of me is like it's almost like if the stupider a show is that can still get me like emotionally invested, the better it is.
I just there's so much cool shit that happens in the ant arc, but you have to slog through it. Like it is long.
I hated how they did it, I think.
Yeah.
Like I actually almost stopped because it felt like a complete deviation. Like there was no warning, there was no anything. It was just here's something completely different.
But that's also what I like about Hunter x Hunter. They just mixed it up every time it was a new arc, and he wasn't afraid to try something.
Is there a way? Should we try and contextualize this? Could you explain the Chimera ant arc at all in less than like a pair 20 paragraphs?
So, Hunter x Hunter is 148 episodes or something, I think, and 80 of them. Oh, 80 plus is to this one arc. And the whole point of this arc is that I can't even remember how the ants got their fucking power.
It was like there was that island. What did they call it? It was unexplored island or whatever. The Dark Continent. Dark Continent.
Oh,
right?
Are they from the Dark Continent?
I think that was the. Yeah.
Well, what is Hunter x Hunter?
this is such a.
Oh,
because
God.
Like Hunter x Hunter is about. It's because he doesn't even have like
I'm talking about ants.
So Hunter x Hunter is so good. It doesn't even like have like a main character as well. It's just got a bunch of.
It's a world where there's an organization of people called hunters, and it's this elite organization where you get this card and allows you access to basically everything.
We're gonna be here all day.
And
one more second.
This is so much hot.
To get the card, you have to pass the exam, and it's very difficult. So all the hunters are extremely powerful people.
Okay, so like you talk about My Hero Academia, where you need a hero license. This one, you need to get a card.
Well, it's kind of like One Punch Man. If you ever watched One Punch Man, there's a hero license. And
why are all these? Like, why is there licenses required and like
because
so much?
It's so dangerous.
It's a barrier to entry.
Why
that
is there
allows
so much bureaucracy and all of these?
It's Japan. There's so many fucking rules. You got to get a license and everything. You know when you buy a bicycle in Japan, you have to register it with the police.
Oh, that's cool.
Why? It's a fucking bicycle. It's like $100.
Is it like a theft thing? Or?
Theft plus like if you fucking crash your bike. I don't know if I
okay.
can.
If
I don't
kill
fucking,
someone.
Yeah, I don't know. It's Japan. They just like having everything
someone
documented.
Gets stuck in your chain.
It's just, it's so.
Someone get isekai'd by a bicycle accident.
To the viewers who don't know, I live in Japan and that's my thing, I guess. That's what I do.
Yeah.
that's my thing. That's my thing.
Well, that's my core.
That's my, I'm not like other boys. I don't fucking know.
I live in Japan.
Yeah, I don't want to fucking sit here and tell people what I do. You can just fucking click the link down below and watch it. And so living there has kind of made it, like, it clicked so many things in anime. You're like, oh.
That's why, yeah.
It's like, this is why there's so many fucking rules and exams for everything in Japan. Yeah. And everything has to go through this bureaucracy and everything has to be ranked. You can't just have heroes, they all have to be ranked, and everyone's worth has to be because they fucking love that. They love putting like a value of how good something is. Because that's what they do. When you get your exams in Japan, you pass them. Everyone's results gets displayed on a board
publicly,
so you can see how shitty your friends did, and you kind of compare, and you all get ranked. And there's a lot of social rules and ranks
It's like when I was there at the Airbnbs we stayed in.
Yeah,
there's like these rules that are like. Split the garbage, and if you can't, just leave everything. And I was looking it up because they're like,
oh boy,
if you mess up, because it's like not even just plastic, it's like type of plastic.
Yeah,
they have to split up, and they're in clear plastic bags. Yeah. So when you put them out,
the
garbage guy goes around, and if he sees the wrong one, he puts a sticker on it and doesn't take it.
Yeah, I've had that. I've had that happen.
And then, so when the neighbors or people come by, they're like, he's like not following the garbage rules. But there's a reason why they do it. It's because they don't have like dumps. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they don't.
Like,
yeah,
if you don't
yeah.
recycle properly, you're actually like,
yeah.
Yeah,
it's bad.
I kind of love that. I kind of, but it's just like so much
shame.
Idea.
Like you avoid the shame because all the neighbors are like, that guy doesn't handle
it. It's fucking weird being here and just throwing everything.
Yeah, yeah. Here, the ocean. Here we
have the double hole trash cans that share a bag. Yeah. Like, I'm a good person today, and then you like look in there and realize that
you're just trying to match the shapes. But yeah, they just go right into the same.
It's not that hard when you get used to it. The first month or so is like, what the fuck?
Because they've glass. Then they have like. They literally have like PET, then like polypropylene.
There's no public trash cans in Japan. No. You're expected to take your garbage with you.
There are some places.
The strat is that whatever you buy from the convenience store, you just bin at the convenience store.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's always normally a trash can at convenience stores.
Mm-hmm. But you just gotta eat it there.
You get
a snack of coffee, you just have to eat it really quick.
Whenever we go on road trips, we just pile up the trash in the car, and then whenever we get to a 7-Eleven, we just fucking take it all out.
You give it all to them.
We just put it all in. Because that's what you do. I mean, like,
But it's also like, it just turns out that, like, Tokyo as a city is like, it's so clean, especially compared to Boston.
It's insanely clean.
There's some dirty areas, but they're few and far between.
Yeah.
We went to a park, and I think I saw like a single cigarette butt. Actually, in the entire park,
that's
there was just like one,
and like you know that like someone is feeling deep shame.
Which
somewhere the baggy bed,
or like a seagull. Like I'm thinking a seagull stole the cigarette out of someone's mouth, flew with it till it like burned down to a little.
Oh yeah.
Just the filter, like, and then dropped it in the park.
Okay.
If they have you been to Osaka?
No.
So we were in Tokyo and Kyoto. Everything's like super clean. We go to Osaka, and we were shocked because we're standing on a bridge, and there's. First of all, you don't eat in public, really.
Yeah.
There's a guy who had spaghetti. He's a Japanese guy. He's just dropping the noodles on the ground, talking to his friend, while his friend was standing there shaving his leg in public.
Just Osaka
just
things,
full
dude.
Shaving, and then just shooting the shaving cream. And we're like, and then
that's weird for Japan, though.
But I'm just saying, like, we were just like, where are we? We were in like some like downtown area of Osaka, but we were just like, this is. We went from having no garbage and no eating to these guys everywhere. Just like, it was like dirtier than what I'm used to. Yeah.
you can eat outside, by the way. That's like a common misconception. Okay.
People don't do it because
Japanese people don't want to walk and eat.
Right.
And so everyone kind of got this idea of you can't do it. It's a taboo. It's like,
I feel like a lot of the food is meant to be super portable, especially like the 7-Eleven stuff.
It's just that people just don't do it. So when you do it, especially you feel if you weird. Look for it, people will they'll look at you.
Yeah.
You know what I missed the most from when we went?
What?
The fish jerky, like the salmon jerky.
Oh, yeah, you can buy it from the 7-Eleven.
There's no such thing as fish jerky.
I like
jerky
the little
here.
Rice balls. Mm.
Yeah,
rice balls
are good. 7-Eleven onigiri. Oh, yeah, it's nuts. Fucking amazing.
You know, the only other 7-Elevens I've been to that like were even close to Japan was Hawaii.
I've heard Hawaii is
the
amazing.
The Hawaiian 7-Elevens were like.
You got the spam musubi.
But there's such a massive Japanese population in Hawaii, right? Because that's their vacation spot.
But what do we hear? The tiny hot dogs. You don't.
I don't
have that in Japan.
I don't think we've ever eaten a hot dog.
Do you think they come here and go the 7-Elevens in America and they're hot
dogs? They still sell the hot dogs in Japan.
But they're better. I would just assume they were better.
The thing with like restaurants in general, right? It's like you want high turnover. Like you want food constantly cycling in and out.
So
the 7-Elevens here do not have that feeling.
Oh, yeah.
It genuinely feels like those hot dogs have been on for potentially like half the day.
I wouldn't dare. Go to a 7-Eleven.
We should do that as a Patreon extras. Go to 7-Eleven.
Oh, trying God. American 7-Eleven.
No. Oh, yeah. I think I'd vomit. Wouldn't I?
Where's the closest 7-Eleven?
Oh, no. Japan's cool. 7-Eleven's fun. I like living in Japan. It's chill. I lived in London before, and London is nice, but it gets tiring. I don't know. I got bored of London. There's nothing to fucking... Like, because I was doing, being a YouTuber, living in London, there's not really much to do. Because in LA, at least, there's everyone's here, and every creator is here. In London, there's like no one really doing anything there, so it's kind of like,
It's kind of like Montreal, because that's where I'm from.
Yeah, right.
7-Eleven.
It's like a major city, but no one's there.
There are people, but it's like in that space, there's not that much going on.
Yeah. And so you kind of feel like, why am I here? Like, I'm doing this job, and there's no purpose for me to be here other than I just happen to be from this place. Yeah. And that, yeah.
Every time we complain about like rent and house prices in California, people start, you know, they do the thing where like, well, you could live anywhere else. And it's like,
because I don't want to fucking live in Oklahoma. Yeah, who the fuck wants to live in Oklahoma? Right.
Exactly. I don't want to live in Oklahoma either. I'm not even sure I've ever been to Oklahoma.
I don't know what is that. I'm sorry, Oklahoma. I just picked this. I picked the state from the middle. I'm pretty sure
every person that lives in Oklahoma who you just talked to, they're like, yes.
Well, I've been to Indiana a few times.
Yeah.
For anime conventions, because I guess so. I've been around the Midwest quite a lot, and I just don't know what why. No. Why do people live there?
Like, I think
Indianapolis was the most boring town center I'd ever seen. Like, it's just like it's just the shittiest.
It's easy,
thing.
I think, to just sort of stay somewhere. Yeah. I mean, you probably have the best perspective.
I mean, I grew up around Illinois, like right in between Chicago and Milwaukee. It's
called
Gurnee, is a suburb.
Okay.
The only thing there was like a Six Flags. I think there was just a lot of like Midwestern kind of like what's the word, not oppression, or just like holding back. Basically, there was an anime convention that used to exist around Chicago, doesn't anymore because it was so fucking nuts. It was called Anime Reactor.
Oh wow.
And like every year we would go there and it would just be a fucking insane shit show, because there'd be like just ambulances coming in and out of people like over drinking, getting into fights. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah.
And I think it was just repression. I think it was this Midwestern repression.
They just,
that would
let
just
loose.
Come out in the form of this awful anime convention that like changed hands three times because of the lawsuits and finally died.
But that's why
like 4 years
Midwestern
later.
Anime cons was so much fun.
Yeah,
because people were just wild.
Why are there just anime cons in?
It's
the
like
Midwest?
So many,
so that people could let loose.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like when a super religious person goes to college.
Yeah,
for the first time.
I will say every anime convention I went to, like the people from the Midwest were by far the nicest.
Really,
like, they were always the most patient, always the nicest.
Probably there's nothing going on. They're just excited for something like new.
Yeah, we because LA and like VidCon and all that is like, I told you this. I was waiting to get. We were sneaking into the VidCon party
because
I didn't buy any tickets. The Amazon one. I was like, I didn't want to buy tickets to go to VidCon, but I was like, I want to go and check out this party. So I had my friend sneak me in.
It was like the House of Blues.
As I was waiting to get sneaked in, this guy who I later saw like three other times at the night trying to network with like fucking everybody, just the loudest voice talking to this guy, just going, yeah, so like this year is the first year I'm actually relevant. Like the last 2 years I've been kind of faking my relevancy, and I'm like, and I'm just like, that like summed up VidCon.
Yeah,
just like
goals,
I was like, this is just everything I thought VidCon was.
Yeah.
And this guy literally just walked by and was like a GTA NPC, just said it out loud.
Oh, that was a really good influencer voice, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I think the American accent really sounded.
It was just like, what?
It's almost surreal.
Like, people
that
talk like this.
Yeah.
Like, people value and talk about their relevancy to other people. Like, what the fuck is this?
At VidCon, like, I got a badge that said chaperone. So it has like no, I have no power with it. But I wore it because I don't know if it worked, but it's like, I feel like if I wore that, like that type of guy, he would never talk to me.
Yeah.
Because
I think you having a different badge would make him think you were important, which you're not.
Exactly. But like with that badge, it's like, I'm chaperoning the person who is important.
Yeah.
So it's
like,
I'm so unimportant that I find that it does. Like, it shields you from those type of people.
That's why traded. I gave Chelsea my badge.
Yeah.
And so I just had, like, the regular badge.
Yeah.
And then I think people just look at her and they think that, you know, because
it's this thing, weird. People
you'll see a lot of, like, eyes darted.
Yeah.
And so you'll see, like, people talking and they're, like, looking down and they're trying to read the badge really quick.
Should I give a fuck about talking to you?
It's so painful.
I love meeting other creators, but that just felt like the worst setting to do it. It felt like it was just a networking event where if you were somebody who was well known, you were just a circus animal.
Yeah.
But people will come up to you because they know you, and you know, people, it was just weird. I didn't like it.
Were you in the bar when we were hanging out with Mr. Beast?
No, I wasn't there that day. That sounded like it was.
Oh my God. I would not trade places with him. It was like one of the worst experiences.
Was he just getting like swarmed?
Yeah, it was like, it made me realize that like if you think Mr. Beast going out in public would be bad, which I don't think it's even that bad.
Mm.
Him going out at an event like this is 10 times worse because everybody knows him, and they're all trying to like squeeze the Mr. Beast. Like,
I want to put his face on my thumbnail.
But
so
I think honestly, like, I think how you described it, because I wasn't there.
Yeah.
But like, it's one thing when creators come up to you and they're kind of like, you're in the same realm. It's right. I think it's worse when it's the people who are like, they're not creators. They're trying to be like, hey, sign on with me. We can get you good deals. Yeah, it's like, you actually don't even bond with them on a creator level. No. It's like they straight up just see you as money signs. And it's like, oh, if we get his name, my boss will be so happy. I get crazy commission on him. It's like the guy literally does not care about you.
Yeah. It was like two times. So like we started talking and someone, like an industry person, just immediately just came up and like interrupted the conversation in a way that made me think that Jimmy already knew who this person was.
Oh, he was that like
aggressive. And then, but the conversation was like really weird. And I'm like, I'm doing this thing where I'm like
do you know
I'm trying to figure it out. And then he's looking at me.
Cause
he thinks
you know the guy.
No. I think he's just so used to it. And then he does this thing where he like tries to deflect, where he's like, oh, like, do you have any idea who this person is? And he like points at me and the guy looks at me and he's like really drunk too. And I'm like, he looks at me like, who are you? And I'm like, I'm Mr. Beast. And then he gets really confused because I think he was actually very drunk. And about that point, I realized so like Jimmy awkward. Had no idea who this guy was. Mm. And he had just sort of like plopped himself there to have some conversation about something. And then we ended up, we like moved to like a little bit more of like a kind of corner area to try to hide. And it like happened again. Like someone came over with an ice.
They just come
to the table, completely like interject whatever you guys are talking about. And the lady had like an iced tea and she was like, oh, like Jimmy, I'm a huge fan of your podcast. The one you did with Joe Rogan. I know you don't drink, so I bought you an iced tea. And she just like hands it to him. And he's like,
I'm not drinking this. I'm not going to drink it.
Yeah, like
what the fuck is wrong with
you? Right. And it was uncomfortable.
Yeah, you'd think creators would know how not to, like, because you would know how you don't want to be treated, right?
But obviously, I said the industry are the worst.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they don't know, and some of them don't care.
Yeah, industry's bad. I think just anyone in the, any creators or industry is going
to
be,
because you're not going to remember the agent who was an asshole who came up to you. Because you're a fucking creator. You're not going to be like, oh, that one guy from that one. You're going to be like, forget about him.
They got into the exclusive TikTok party. So I had a real wristband. So they like, VidCon.
Do you missed out on the TikTok party?
How much shit can we talk about VidCon? Or is it whatever? We're probably not going to get invited anymore anyways.
well, you're not big on TikTok.
I wasn't even invited the first time. I had a community badge.
Oh, wait. So I should say, all of the nefarious things you did, I was not involved.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Bullshit.
Okay. Yo, we stole a bunch of jellyfish for you, Nigel.
I didn't.
I stole a I couldn't get the whole thing, but I took a jellyfish out of it. Wait, I gave it to Nigel.
You know, I found out you can just buy those on Amazon.
Like a live.
Oh my God. No, it was the fake jellyfish from one of the lounges. It was a jelly smack.
Yeah. It was the jelly smack display that had these. It was like lava lamps with jellyfish. Yeah. And so we were trying to steal a whole lamp, and we couldn't do it. So instead, I unscrewed the top.
I
grabbed one of the jellyfish out. And it turned out I was the second person to have done that for Nigel. So he had two at that point.
I asked them for the lamp.
Why did you want the jellyfishes so much?
I just thought that they were unique, but then I thought you could.
So the jellyfish were in these containers. It was like little like fake aquariums that had a water pump, and they filled with water. So like the jellyfish would kind of like sink, and then it would like float around. And then it would like get shoved up. And so you kind of end up with this cool like reciprocating.
Oh,
like,
do you
lava
have them with
lamp.
You? You've got the he's got the jellyfish
okay,
with
that's
them.
Kinda, that's kind of neat.
Yeah, so it's almost like a lava.
They're in a separate home now.
It was like a lava lamp.
He was just like, William, I demand to have a jellyfish. You go.
Actually, the first one broke, and the jellyfish were all over.
Right.
So somebody picked them up
off the ground, but I actively
I did not request that,
and I unscrewed. And the whole time you were pointing to the jelly speck. Yeah. You're like, Alan, stop messing with the thing.
You should have gone in with a hard hat and a high vis vest and started like putting jelly.
We were the only ones there too,
and so I unscrewed it and I just reached in and I grabbed the jellyfish and I put it in my pocket.
Hell yeah!
Nigel.
Why not? So wait, what was this TikTok party then? After you're done
so
with your
fish. It's all sort of tied in because VidCon has sort of turned into like a weird like exclusivity event.
I didn't fucking know anyone at those parties. Yeah. I was like, who? I thought I watched a lot of YouTube.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know.
Oh, you didn't watch enough TikTok.
That's the thing, and TikTok. I realized everyone's a fucking TikToker.
Right. And I'm not familiar with TikTok at all.
Yeah. It just seemed like in general, like the audience wasn't as excited about TikTokers generally.
Yeah.
Something that I realized was it's the first, the last VidCon, like 2019, it was like many years of VidCon growing. So it was very YouTube centric. The problem was this one was TikTok run, but TikTok, because of COVID, has never had a major convention. Like, I was talking to somebody who told me about this. They're like, this is the first real get together of
there was
like,
Playlist in 2019 or the beginning of 2020.
It's the first like big one after like Yeah. All these people built their careers on TikTok. So the guy was telling me, he goes, I do TikTok and I only know the people who are like in my little area of TikTok.
That must be so bizarre.
But it's like, I feel like if there were, you know, 4 more years of TikTok, a major TikTok event, people would start to know each other a lot more. Yeah. Whereas like they haven't had time to really even develop a community.
That's so
Why
weird.
Didn't you get an invite via TikTok though? Because that was kind of like the arrangement, I'm assuming, is that TikTok sponsors the event instead of YouTube.
That was the other thing. I spoke to somebody who does TikTok and he was telling me, he goes, oh, they don't care about anybody. He was just like, they don't care.
Lovely. What about Charlie D'Amelio? Yeah.
DeMarshmallow.
Well, did you
I don't know. I didn't ask.
Did you see that video of that girl who had the meet and greet? And she had like 1.5 million followers on TikTok. And it was a meet and greet. No one showed up.
That's my worst nightmare. Oh, I'm glad I've never lived it.
But I just can't. You have 1.5 million followers and no one shows up. Like, what does that say about followers on TikTok? Like,
highly valuable.
I have a million followers on TikTok and I have never cared. It doesn't matter.
All of Alan's followers right now.
I fucking hate every fucking one of you. If I could Thor hammer you all away, I would fucking do it in a heartbeat.
I think I have five or 600,000 and I don't even know my password.
It's just no one on TikTok in any direction cares. Like if you have a million followers, if you're one of the million followers, like you don't really care.
It seems that if you have a YouTube channel, there is like the point of having a TikTok is to kind of promote your YouTube channel. So why the fuck would you care?
Yeah. Right.
It's just there to help boost.
I personally think it has its place. I think it hasn't really matured enough as a platform.
Well, you kill it on shorts and TikTok, right? Because your shorts won't get out of my fucking YouTube record.
Not interested or like
No, I like them, but it's like every single time it's like, I just hear, today I'm going to, oh my God.
It's like anytime Nigel ever gives any advice to anyone, I said, you cannot take Nigel's advice because he is an anomaly and nothing he says
your content
is applicable.
I will teach you how to turn anything.
I am going to take you up on that someday. I will do
this
shorts.
This week. We'll make a short about something.
Mm. Okay.
Watch it just bombs. It's the worst thing ever made.
We're going to see if your magic is actually the general use.
I've watched many of your videos and I normally would just kind of like, I had no idea what's fucking happening.
I've already told them. I don't think anyone has.
And I think you have a great speaking voice. Yeah. I just leave it on.
It feels like you're in school, but you don't have to pay attention.
It's fucking awesome, but I have no idea what you're doing.
I'm just cringing so hard. He's trying so hard in the past to make sure that people know what he's doing that things make sense for the audience.
You could literally sit me down and walk me through. I'm like, yep. And then you finish, I'm like,
I told him, what makes me feel good watching his videos is like he does this and this and then the thing is full, it's like full of white powder and I'm like, it did something, it converted and it was like a lot of yield, like there's this weird like visual ASMR.
When I put the videos together, it takes a really long time to write them, is what I told you on the car right over here. I'm like, you have to explain things in a way that when the person's in the moment, it makes sense.
Yeah, in the moment, it makes
but
sense.
But they have no
it's
idea.
It's like a Transformers movie.
In the moment.
Like, I understand what you're telling me.
But when the video's done, you're like, I don't even know what happened. That's how they're designed. Okay.
I'm not saying that I don't fucking...
No, I'm saying that that's how I design it. So in the moment, you're like, oh yeah, of course, you got to put it in the cup. You got to do this. And then if someone asks you later, like, why do you put it in the cup? It's like, I actually don't know. When I watched it, it made sense. Yeah. But in hindsight, it doesn't. I can't.
Yeah, like the methods I don't understand, but I understand because the thumbnail told me what you're making.
Yeah.
it's good.
The key is completely forgettable content.
I also want to ask, did you ever do like voiceover or anything?
No, everything I do is from like.
He's a really good voiceover voice.
You could if you listen to my early videos.
You trained?
No, they're just so bad.
Oh, okay.
I've seen some of your recent stuff too, though.
No!
Yeah, but this other stuff's worse.
Okay.
You could sell me car insurance, dude. Definitely. Yeah. I can see it. I could hear him reading a Geico ad.
I'd buy.
That might be good. Yeah. I don't know if that's good or
not. No, that's good.
You'd make a great hentai salesman.
It takes a lot of time. Because when you hear your voice over and over and over.
You get used to it and you can play with it.
I got tired of just hearing, like, when you listen to voiceovers, you hear, like, your lips smacking.
Yeah. Mm.
So, like, when I would speak, I would, like, to prevent it, you lift your lips off your, like, you speak in a different way to not have those sounds.
Nigel, have you ever considered voicing a hentai protagonist?
Yes.
With your voice?
I did. I was doing voiceover before I was actually a YouTuber.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So that was like my whole thing before, and so I kind of just am had that involved with YouTube from the start, and that was really useful because I went into YouTube right away just knowing how to talk.
Did you ever do a dub for a hentai?
I really want to though.
Would you even know?
Yeah, you know. I get sent the.
How would he not know?
Because I get sent the casting calls still. I can read for them, but I just a lot of the time if I'm gonna voice in a hentai, I want to be a fucking great one.
Yeah.
Masterpiece.
My favorite hentai is called Masterpiece, by the way.
You should watch it.
It's amazing.
I haven't seen that one. Can I find it on YouTube?
You should watch it. No, you can't find it on YouTube.
What about just
what about Crunchyroll?
You should all watch it together. Do they have one of those 10 minute condensations of the Masterpiece, like just the robot voice explaining the recap? Yeah, you should have that.
Without the gross porn parts.
Right. I just want the cutscenes.
Just the story.
Yeah.
It's good.
I watch hentai for the story. For the plot.
Fuck off. What was the whole point of this conversation? Oh, the TikTok, right?
You figured it out.
Yeah.
There's. I can teach it. Don't worry.
If anyone that watches this is looking to voice cast somebody for a hentai, Nigel, we will connect you to Nigel.
I would just imagine a science explanation in a hentai now.
I want to say one thing about the voiceover is because as I did more videos, I don't know, I just became very conscious of how I pronounce words. So in the videos, I make a point of never slurring, and I try to speak it like a very steady. I redo take after take to try to make sure everything's at the same speed.
Yeah, and another common mistake people do when they do voiceover is that normally when you read your line, because you're reading into it, the first word you say
is very loud and fast.
Yeah, really loud. So there's tricks you can do. Before I do voice lines, I'll just say okay very quickly before I say the line, and then you just cut the okay because then the okay kind of that's such a volume.
That's something in editing you learn where it's every time you do something, it always tapers down, and so it's I always have to keyframe volume down, volume up, and it slowly increases.
People just don't enunciate.
So what I do is if I have to, I always say the last half of the previous line, so that it leads in. The hardest part is when you start a paragraph, because if you say there is something, th is so the is so hard.
Yeah,
you almost always it's just you're screaming into the mic.
You start running out of air. Actually, I got a good video idea.
Yeah.
Being able to talk forever. You can pipe air into your lungs.
That sounds dangerous as fuck.
And you just keep pushing.
Don't birds have a continuous breathing system that they do?
Does it involve the cloaca?
Birds are built different. I think it's a weird single lung design.
Why do we have shitty lungs?
Continuous circular.
Like fish. Yeah. They have to be flying to breathe.
We could probably just put a tube down your throat. And
would that interfere with your vocal cords, though?
Probably.
So you have to write the scripts as well, right? Okay, that makes it a lot easier. Because in voiceover, a lot of the time, you don't see the script.
No, it's so hard. I had to do... I actually technically did voiceover. My cousin was doing something. So he's like, do it. It was voiceover acting. That's the funniest part, too. I got the shortest one-liners.
Yeah.
But it was I didn't write it. And some of the lines are just yeah. And I'm just
yeah, it's hard.
How am I supposed to... And then that was hard. When you don't write it and then you have to be a character. I was that was very different for me.
I would love to, as a Patreon extra or something, to try getting footage from anime and just trying to dub it ourselves.
It's hard.
I wonder, going back to the subs versus dubs thing, what's your answer?
I think... Because here's one thing I'm going to explain. Even if you watch subs, you're still not understanding what they're actually saying, right? You're still not getting the you're still kind of having to. And even in the subs, even though they're technically correct, you're missing a lot by not knowing the language, right? Mm-hmm. So it's whatever the fuck you want. If I'm going to watch it subbed, if I really want the ideal experience, but it's completely fair to watch a dub. Why do people act like you're bastardizing the show? You're not.
Here's my theory.
It depends on how good the dubs are.
There are some really bad dubs.
I can actually... Yeah.
My theory is suspension of disbelief.
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, so for me, I don't like English language shows or movies where they talk about
weird
fantasy, quantum reactors. Yeah.
That's fair.
And having it separated between text and visuals helps to just... create like this reality far yeah. different from your own, because like mm-hmm. the language is different, so the fair. Science yeah. must be as well.
No, the way physics works is different.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly sense. What I was gonna say. Like in English, if some guy like starts blabbing about like science,
the quantum reactor is yeah. overloaded. It's 3,000% capacity.
I'm just like, and then, but if it's for whatever reason, it's like books. If you read a book, yeah. like, that's totally fine. So I find it's like. Kind of like
having an actor who clearly doesn't know what the fuck he's saying explain it to you is like, oh,
it's
just fuck, okay.
Whereas, like, you get it's more suspension of disbelief.
That's fair, too. Yeah,
so right, it also depends on like, what you're watching.
We got to wrap up.
All right,
thank you very much for this was so much being fun. A guest and B, letting us use your Airbnb.
Well, you let us use your mic, so
I know. It's a fair trade,
fair trade. Well, thank you so much for having me, guys. This is awesome.
Should we try to do that for the extra? Try to dub an anime? How quickly can we do that?
All we need is a laptop screen.
It could just be really bad.
Yeah. Dude, it's going to be really bad. One camera pointed at the screen anime. And then mm-hmm. us just trying to make like,
Japanese
up.
People.
All right. Well, maybe that's what we do, or maybe not. We'll see you on Patreon.
Ooh. Oh,
yeah, I don't make the rules. I just. Then it ends.
Yeah.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line. Prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.